Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's kind of interesting that we go back to Corinthians after spending so much time there. But it's also a great place to go because we know the church a little bit. We know the situation a little bit. And that helps us in our understanding. And before we pray, there's something of an expectation. I mean, after all, it's December 20, so this is the last worship service before a Christmas Eve service, before Christmas Day. And so there's some inner expectation, and I feel that, you feel that, that we look at the baby Jesus. However, we're not going to do that today. Sorry. We're going to look more at why. Why did God do what he did? Why, and it's famous to say that God the Son humbled himself and took on human flesh, because that's what Philippians 2 says. We don't often think that God the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is also given to us. That God the Son and God the Spirit are given to us by the Father. And that's the why. That because the Spirit has been given, there is an understanding of the Son that is enriched. And so, Lord willing, that's what we will try to draw out today, and that's what we're going to hear in God's Word and also in our recitation of the two articles of the Heidelberg Catechism. So let's pray that God may accomplish all of that in our hearts and lives. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that there are no surprises in your word, that your word is utterly and completely clear to you, that you communicate it with clarity to your church, that you by your Holy Spirit have given us your word, and you have manifest the message of your word by you in the form of God the Son taking upon human flesh and bearing the sins of the world in your body and in your death on the cross. So we ask you, Father, to grant some clarity to us today in terms of why we even have Christmas and why there is a celebration of Christ at Christmas. And so we pray that this would be a true day of Advent, a true day of the coming to you and coming to you with hearts better prepared and souls with a deeper sense of excitement to celebrate the birth of Christ on Christmas Day. We ask this humbly, Father, in the name of Jesus, whom you've given to us as our Savior and our Lord. Amen. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 6 to the end of the chapter. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom. We do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depth of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? And so no one comprehends the thought of God except the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This much that we read from God's word. And you may like to keep your Bibles open, particularly to verse 12. And now in summary of this teaching, and as we have been doing each week of Advent, we look at the reflections of the message that is laid out before us in the Heidelberg Catechism. And so let's say together, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that the Spirit is given also to me, so that through true faith he makes me share in Christ, and all his benefits comfort me and will remain with me forever. Let's just hold that a minute on this second phrase, that slide that's on the screen. And look at that line, that the Spirit is given also to me. In the same way that God the Son comes and gives himself to us, the Spirit is given to us. And he's given to us to make us share. You see that two lines down? To make us share in Christ and all his benefits. And that's our comfort. That's our comfort, that the Spirit is applying the very blessings of Christ to our lives. So let's continue then. What do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? I believe that God, because of Christ's satisfaction, will no longer remember any of my sins or my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, by God's grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment. Now let's hold that slide as well. To think of that last phrase, that God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment. You talk about a why, and you talk about a benefit, that God grants to you and me the very righteousness of Christ. That God grants these blessings, that we would live with him, and that it would be applied to us. And so with that, we look at what I'm calling God's gift in Christ, but it's really a sense of bigger than God's gift in Christ, right? And and boys and girls, I'd like to begin with you. I wonder if you will get Christmas gifts this year where you will say to your dad and mom, will you help me? Maybe you get one of those gifts that has 500 twist ties on it, or, well, not quite that many, but it sure seems like it when you're opening them. You know what I'm talking about? Our grandson Ezra had a birthday this past week, and we got to have a video watching him open his birthday presents, and he's struggling a little bit with the scissors, and all of a sudden he says, Mom, will you help me? And so she starts cutting the package and says, now I know, Ezzy, why you're struggling with this, because I can hardly cut through this tape. And she says, I don't know what grandpa and grandma use, but this is some industrial stuff. And so then when he's opening his present and it's all laid out on the table and he's kind of in awe, so kudos to grandma. And then he says again, Mom, will you help me? Will you cut these little things to free my present from its cardboard support? Will you help me? And in this text, we get to think about God giving you and me a special gift who is a helper. That in the same way, boys and girls, that we would say, Mom or Dad, will you help me? Will you help me get my package completely unleashed from all this so that I can play with it? That God gives us the Spirit and God gives us the Son to completely free us from sin. That there is this packaging of life that constricts us. There is this packaging of life that prevents us from the use that we can bring in making the most out of our lives. And the Spirit comes to help us understand what God has done in giving us the Christ. So God, the third person of the Trinity, comes to help us realize what the second person of the Trinity did for us. Isn't that astounding? It's not just Christ. It's not just God the Son humbling himself. It's God the Spirit being personally active, saying, I will help you. I will help you understand the blessings of God the Son. That God gave you and me this special gift as a helper. That the name Jesus comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And even in that sense, the Gospel of John, Jesus himself called him what? The helper. When the helper comes, you'll understand all this mystery. Because the disciples on earth, they didn't understand it. And, you know, they even said to Jesus, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You're the king, Jesus. You've come through now death and resurrection. You've established yourself absolutely, positively as the king. Are you now going to do this? And he says, well, it's not the time. The Father knows the time, but I'm going to send you the helper. The helper is going to help you live your life new. He's going to help you live the kingdom reality of all of this newness. And here is Paul's lesson to Corinth, where he says that God gave a special gift to help us understand that gift of God. Let's have that first verse, Jared. And you see this, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given. Now we break that down just a little bit more, narrow it, simplify it just a little bit more, then, and you see on the bottom two lines, God gave his Spirit as a gift so that we would understand the gift of Christ, the helper. That God gave the gift of the Spirit so that we would understand the gift he gives in Christ. I mean, this verse is saying that the Holy Spirit is like Mom or Dad coming with the scissors to help us open the gift that God especially prepared for us. This helper is a gift given to help us to learn how to use the new gift of Christ. It's really the why and the purpose and the foundation of Christmas. It's putting all of it together so that we get it, that Father is giving two gifts, And the one gift is the helper gift, and the other gift is the freedom gift. And he gives us the gift of the Spirit to help us understand what he gives us in Christ. And so we have the helper gift, and then we have the salvation gift. The first gift helps us open and unpack and understand. And the second gift gives us the blessings of sins forgiven, of justification, of new life in Christ, of transformation. So let's look at this point one to see that the spirit of Christmas helps us understand God's gift. And A, who is this spirit? And Paul tells us three things in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2. He tells us that the spirit is not of this world. That's the first thing. Second, he tells us that the spirit is a gift from God. And third, he tells us that the Spirit is given so that we may understand what we have been given. That he's a helper. This is so interesting to me. I hope it kind of captures your thinking, but it's so interesting to me because you think of human nature. Do you remember the story of the Pharisee who prayed, "Lord, I thank you that I am not like that publican over there." And here he is in his fancy clothes saying, I thank you that I'm not dressed in that raggedy, ugly old clothing like that guy. I thank you that my life is nothing like his. I thank you that I have a relatively good life. And you don't make me be like him with nothing. Or you think of the kings that like to be seen in all their splendor and their glory, and yet the politicians that like to dance and prance around and to be seen as important people. There's something in our human nature that makes us want to be like that. And even the high priest, when he walked the streets of Jerusalem, he walked the streets of Jerusalem in special robes with special guards. And they would yell, "The high priest is coming, the high priest is coming," and people would fall down to their knees. And if they didn't, the guards would push people down to their knees. Or you think of a Roman emperor who had gold chariots going in front of him so that people would expect someone greater than a chariot filled with gold to come. And that would be the emperor. And it's this human nature that just keeps building and building and building. And it's the church that wants to be famous and foremost in its city. Or the church leader that wants to be seen as the big shot instead of the servant. And that's all part of our nature. And it's the exact opposite of the example of the Holy Spirit, who does not draw attention to himself. That draws attention away from himself to show us the Christ. That point B, that God the Spirit comes from God the Father to make God the Son known. God the Spirit comes from God the Father to make God the Son known. The Trinity in action for you and me. That gives me goosebumps. Really, I feel under my shirt that I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that. The Trinity in action for you and me. This is amazing because here's God Almighty, now third person of the Trinity, given by God the Father so he can help us understand God the Son. That it's God the Spirit who's going to help us realize who this baby that we celebrate each Christmas is and why we celebrate him and what he does. And to model the Spirit then would be a church that really doesn't care about itself. It cares only about making the Son known. And then we stop and we evaluate ourselves. Do we do things for ourselves, or do we do things with the motivation of making God the Son known? And we evaluate ourselves. Do we live our lives where God has sovereignly placed us, each one sovereignly placed by God in our neighborhood, in our job situation? Do we do that for ourselves, for the security of our family, for the building up of our lives? Or do we do that to make God the Son known? See, to be like the Spirit, then we become this constant awareness of making God the Son known. And I believe that's what God wants from us. That he doesn't want us to make ourselves important. He wants us to make ourselves servants. He doesn't want us to build ourselves up and to be the big shots where we live and work and carry out activity. He actually wants us to care less about ourselves and to care more about the Son, and to point to the Son and proclaim the Son and draw attention to the Son, God the Son. That this time of the year, we should particularly be drawing attention to the birth of Jesus. Now, I don't know how you do that in your neighborhood. One of the things that we like to do is we make Christmas candy and then we give it away. And we've got a tray full of candy ready to go into the packages, and there's certain people that are going to be waiting for it because we've got them addicted to one particular type of candy. And they even say, husband and wife, don't bring us that candy because all it does is makes us fight. We fight for who gets it because there's only a limited number of pieces. But in there comes a message of Christ. And we try to do that. We try to communicate Christ in that, because we're called to be like God the Spirit, to draw attention to Jesus born at Christmas. So what does God the Spirit do? Or there's a better question, why? Why is God the Spirit so good at what he does? Let me pause just a moment and give you a little quiz. Why is God the Spirit so good at what he does? Well, you say, well, because he's God. But here's the quiz. Why is he the natural one to be the helper to make Jesus known? Just think about that a minute. Why is it natural that this Spirit would be the one to make Jesus known? Well, let me give you two answers. Number one, because he's the one who inspired the Bible, right? He gave us God's word. We wouldn't know about Jesus without the Spirit giving us the Bible. That Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:20 that no prophecy came from some imagination, but it came as God the Spirit carried them along and caused them to write God's word. There he is. He's involved. He's bringing this about, that the writers of the Bible are actually not writing out of themselves and their story and their interaction, but God the Spirit is carrying them along and causing them to write, that they are proclaiming what God the Spirit is producing from them. And secondly, that Jesus himself knew that God the Spirit was the natural interpreter. Because when he was in human flesh, he said the Bible was about him. Right? Luke 24:27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24:44, and then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you. The whole time I was with you, I was teaching you, I was proclaiming to you, I was telling you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. It's that very word and work of the Holy Spirit that appeals to you and me today. And then the last work of the Spirit is the Spirit makes us new. That God has given us his Spirit within us. And we become a new temple, and it's the temple of God in Christ, and not the temple of self, and not the temple of some social longing, or the temple of whatever it is. Well, then secondly, we see that the spirit of Christmas produces faith in Christ, that this work of the Holy Spirit that's creating all this activity and pointing to the birth of Christ is the one who produces faith in Christ. That the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit created the Word of God for us to hear. That it's the very Word of God that is supposed to be proclaimed. It's the Word of God that is the message that makes the feet of those who proclaim the gospel beautiful. That the Holy Spirit himself created the acoustic of faith so that you and I can hear the Word of God as we read our Bibles. That the Holy Spirit has given us the new heart and the new mind that resonates, that responds to the Word of God when we read it. And God's Word, because of the Holy Spirit, God's Word is never a static word. It's always dynamic. That God's Word is constantly calling or shunning. It's constantly saying to you and me, this is something that we need to do, or this is something we should not do. And it's constantly alive in us because it is, point B, a dynamic word. That by the Spirit we hear the Word of God. By the Spirit we see Jesus in the Bible. That it's those Bible stories, even as we read them, and some of them are retold in terrible ways in the Bible story books that we have, but yet the truth is still there. And we see Jesus in those simple stories that we read to our children. In the most basic lessons, boys and girls, that you read about Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit that does something in your heart and in your mind that makes you know this old story is real. That something happens because of the Holy Spirit in you that makes you love God instead of hate him. Well, that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. That we believe in him. And so it is today. The Holy Spirit makes us know that Jesus was born in a stable outside of Bethlehem. And we say that's not a fable in the Bible. That is history. That is the beginning of Christ on earth. God the Son, who humbled himself to take human flesh is confined in the womb of Mary, his mother, and he's born in a stable. But even more, that because of the Holy Spirit, we see with our mind's eye, we see a baby in a manger, and yet we don't just see a baby in a manger. We see our Savior. We see the one in this manger who's also going to be the one on the cross. And we see this connection. We see all of these blessings just coming together. That our Savior has come, and that is precisely why heaven exploded at the angel's announcement of Christ. Because the Savior is born. Because all of the promises of the Old Testament are fulfilled in this Jesus, and heaven explodes and the angels sing to the glory of God. That's why old man Simeon, beholding this baby, drawn, says the scriptures, three times, drawn, moved, pushed by the Holy Spirit into the temple at that time. And old man Simeon, with his weathered old hands, holds up this baby Jesus and he says, "Now my eyes have seen the means of salvation of Israel." This is God's Savior right here. In this baby is the salvation of the entire nation of Israel. Well, Simeon's thinking small because we become the new Israel. And we're united in there. He's our Savior. But old man Simeon sees this and knows this because of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is bringing him there. The Holy Spirit is telling him that he's going to see the Christ. And he sees that baby. He knows that that's the baby, not the one over there or the one over there. That one right there. And he holds him up for all to see that the Holy Spirit was given to Simeon to help him see and know Jesus as the means of salvation. And that same Spirit is given to you and me to help us know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the means of salvation. He is the one who removes our sins from us entirely. He is the one who grants us the legal decree in the heavenly court where God the Father slams down his gavel and he says, "This person is free because she's my daughter and she's coming to me." And God's arms are open wide because he's my son and he's coming to me. And there is no offense in him because all of the offense was borne by Jesus on the cross and in his death. And so the Holy Spirit is given to help us see Jesus, and that's what he does. He doesn't call attention to himself. He doesn't want to be the main focus of the church. He doesn't want the time of worship to be about him. He wants it to be about the Savior Jesus. And so the very first worship, when he brings the shepherds to see the baby, they adore him, the baby. And the Holy Spirit is just moving quietly, directly, specifically, bringing them to worship. He works in their hearts and their lives. And the scriptures say, and they worshiped him. How did they know to worship him? The Holy Spirit did his work within them. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that changes our lives. And we know that and we say that because the Spirit has done his job well. Because his word is full and complete, and we've read that word and we've learned that from the word. And so now we can say that Jesus saves us fully and truly because the Holy Spirit has done his job well. And then thirdly, we see promises from God. There are two promises that tell us why Jesus came. And promise number one is that in Christ, God makes atonement to satisfy his own wrath. And promise two, that in Christ, God grants us the righteousness of Christ. That promise number one, in Christ, God makes atonement to satisfy his wrath. In the old system, God required all kinds of sacrifices. Every sacrifice had it, every sin had its own sacrifice. Every situation of life had its own sacrifice. Yet people knew that their sacrifices didn't change the heart and the mind of God. They knew that. They knew that they were tokens. They were representations of a greater sacrifice. But they continued to make them, and God continued to teach them that this is not the one. There's a greater one. And then Jesus was born, and God the Spirit taught a new message, saying, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, through whom he created the world, Hebrews 1. And then he said, of this Son, after he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That this Son is the saving one, the purposeful one. By this sacrifice, the God-man Jesus, God promised atonement to satisfy his wrath. And John Calvin reflects on all this, and he says, Isaiah 53 is the promise of God put in writing by God himself. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we believe that because God put it in writing. And we believe that because God the Spirit resonates with our spirit to say that is the truth of salvation. And lastly, in promise two, in Christ, God grants the righteousness of Christ. In Jesus Christ, God makes Jesus look like a convicted criminal so that you and I can look like sinless ones. Astounding, absolutely astounding, that God makes the perfect one look like a convicted criminal so that you and I in our sin can look like the righteousness of Christ. And so we may say, for I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8. And why can we say that? Because it is so clear that God has given everything in the hand of the Spirit to show us the authority of Christ, and he will not let go. And where is God the Son now? Two images. He's at the right hand of the Father in the image of Romans 8. He is the one who is continually making intercession. He's praying for you and me. And there's God the Spirit with him praying for you and me. So brothers and sisters, this is the why of Christmas. This is the why God the Son took human flesh. This is why God the Son humbled himself to be born a baby and to grow up to be a sacrifice. And because of Jesus, you and I may say that there is nothing in all creation that will separate us from the love of God in Christ. And that is the promise of the Holy Spirit put in writing for you and me. That God tells us specifically, directly, exactly how he saves us. He saves us through a baby who he sent, who was fully God and fully man, and one who was perfectly sinless, who looked like sin, that he would cry out on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he deserved to be forsaken. He was bearing our sin. And so he was forsaken so that you and I never shall be forsaken. He was forsaken so that God the Father throws his arms open wide to you and me. And he says, come. Come to me. He says to us, live in the model of the Spirit. Make our life about making Jesus known. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for the direction of your life in our hearts and in our minds. And we thank you, Father, for the work of your Spirit to make Jesus known. Father, we ask that we may live in a way to make Jesus known. That it would be the light of the glory of Christ that would shine within us. It would be the new heart and the new mind of Christ that would be displayed in our living and in our speech, in our actions. That it would be the newness of knowing Christ that would make people ask us about the blessing in our lives so that we would communicate the wonders of Christ. Humble us in our living, direct us in our purpose, use us to proclaim the very joys and blessing of Christ. Father, thank you for a helper. A helper to help us open and unpack the lesson of Jesus so that the very blessings of Christ would be set free in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name.